Okay, I got some questions for you this morning. The first one, who here has been baptized? Raise your hand. And this is always time whenever we talk about baptism. I want to be clear that if you have not been baptized, please let Pastor Henry or myself know, and we would love to talk to you about that. But for everyone that raised their hand who's been baptized, do you remember your baptism? Okay, neither do I. So I was a baby when I was baptized. It was March 9th, 1975. I know I was baptized by my dad, who was the pastor. I had my dad as a pastor for quite a long time, which makes sense, right? And I see from pictures that I was baptized. But we hear this phrase a lot when we talk about baptism, remembering your baptism. So keep that in mind as we go throughout this message here today. And the text I'm going to read is from Mark chapter 1, and we're going to hear about a couple different types of baptisms here that we're going to talk through. So Mark chapter 1, verses 4 through 11, and here's what it says. John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, "After me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you, I am well pleased." And that's God's word. So go back up to the beginning of what I just read you. John the Baptist. We've all probably heard about John the Baptist somewhat. So I have a picture up here of what he looked like. This is a very accurate portrayal of him. So John the Baptist wore camel hair and a leather belt around his waist. Now, this is interesting because if you go, you can write in your notes, 2 Kings 1, verse 8, it talks about Elijah, the great prophet of the Old Testament, who wore camel's hair and a leather belt. And John the Baptist was the second Elijah, so to speak. And if you look in the verses in Mark, right before he talks about John the Baptist, he references Isaiah, who prophesied about the one who would prepare the way for Jesus. And this is the guy, John the Baptist, who's going to prepare the way for Jesus. And if you notice on the picture, he's eating locusts and wild honey. Now, the wild honey may be not so crazy, but the locusts seems kind of crazy to us, right? Or is there anybody that likes to eat locusts? I don't want to offend anybody. But in those days, locusts were something that they ate, and this was considered clean according to the Mosaic law to eat locusts. And wild honey is interesting, and this is significant because wild honey could not be taxed. So John the Baptist was living off the land and still abiding by the Mosaic law at the same time. So this is the guy that's out in the desert preaching repentance. And the people are coming out to them because, you see, the people were looking for a change. They were tired of living the way they were. They were looking for something different. And this crazy guy out in the desert was preaching something different. And it says in our text that John was giving a baptism of repentance. And so that's the first question on the sheet. I have three questions on the sheets for you. The first one is, what is a baptism of repentance? What exactly does this mean? So what it was these people were coming out. John was preaching, talking about the coming Messiah that would be coming very soon, asking people to confess their sins, and not only confess their sins, but to turn and live their life differently. So these people that were coming to John in the Jordan River, he was dunking them in the water, they were coming up, their sins were forgiven. No question about it, their sins were forgiven. But the baptism of repentance part comes in after this. They are to live differently. They are to think differently, which is what repent means. So it's almost, you can think about an about face. They're looking this way, they get baptized, their sins are forgiven, and now they're going to go this way. Turn from their sinful ways. And this is what John was doing out in the desert, baptizing these people. Now, it's important to understand that this baptism is not the same baptism that you and I experience. And we're going to get into that here in a little bit, because John tells us himself it's not the same. Because he says, after me is coming one who is mightier than I, who's going to baptize with the Spirit. So what's the significance of the water? Well, water in the Old Testament times in the Mosaic Law was a huge thing. And it doesn't take much for me to convince you. Water gets things clean, right? And in Greek, the word is baptizo, and it basically means to wash, to clean, whatever. You can baptize your dishes when you get home. But water was a big deal in the Old Testament times. Like, for example, in Leviticus 16, you can check it out, what the priests had to go through in order to go into the tabernacle to make the sacrifices for the people. They had to cleanse themselves thoroughly before they could put on the clean robes that they wore to go in to the Holy of Holies. They had to go through this. They had to be clean to be in the presence of God. So in a way, John is preparing the people to be ready to be in the presence of God, because God was about to appear very soon, of course, in the form of Jesus. So Jesus comes up, verses 9 through 11, and John baptizes him in the Jordan. Now, it's no accident that Jesus is baptized in the Jordan River. In the Old Testament, when the Israelites, who had been wandering in the desert for 40 years after God saved them from slavery in Egypt, they've been wandering in the desert for 40 years. They finally are to the Promised Land. And guess what they cross to go into the Promised Land? They cross the Jordan River. Now Jesus, the Son of God, is coming to John to be baptized in the Jordan River. And immediately after this, he's driven into the desert for 40 days. Isn't Bible 1 awesome? Isn't it cool? Or does anybody else get really freaked out when you see this stuff? This is so cool. You see how the Bible is all connected together and everything is in there for a reason? It may seem in the Old Testament like 40 years, why? Then they cross the Jordan River, who cares? But then you see this, Jesus baptized in the Jordan River, then driven into the desert for 40 days where he's tempted by Satan. So which brings up a question, by the way. Have you ever wondered this? Second question on your sheets. Why would Jesus need to be baptized? Have you ever wondered that? Jesus was without sin, correct? Do we believe that? Yes, of course. He was without sin. So why would Jesus go and be baptized by John in the Jordan River? Well, by submitting to John's baptism, Jesus is showing that he is standing with the sinners who are coming to be baptized. You see, Jesus was 100% God and 100% human. He was showing that he was standing with the fellow human beings side by side, standing with them. going through the same thing that they were going through. This event also signifies the beginning of Jesus' ministry. See, we don't get much information about Jesus from Christmas until now. We get a couple events in there, but this is the beginning now of Jesus' ministry. This also gives Jesus his identity, because the Father speaks from heaven when he is being baptized, "This is my Son." The Father is clarifying that this is the one that is going to fulfill his plan of salvation. And now Jesus, being baptized, has come in the place of the people. Not only is he standing with the people that are coming to be baptized, he is going to later die for these same people, as well as us. So the third question that came to my mind as I read through this, so we got John the Baptist's baptism, a baptism of repentance, which did give the forgiveness of sins, but it's different than the baptism you and I experienced. So where does my baptism fit in all of this? Well, a lot of times people will point to Jesus being baptized as to why we get baptized. But this isn't exactly where Jesus instituted holy baptism, of why we are supposed to do this. If you go to Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20, not those verses yet, but Jesus, the last words before he ascends into heaven, gives his disciples some instructions. He says, "Go therefore into all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." You see, this is where Jesus instituted, this is where Jesus started baptism, because this is why we baptize. Because Jesus told us to do it. And the purpose of this baptism is it washes us clean of our sin. Now, this sin disease that we all share is something that we all inherited from the moment we were conceived. So I always like to tell the confirmation kids, you know, you can go home and blame your mom and dad for the sin that you have. But they can blame their parents. They can blame their parents all the way down the line. But we sin every day. You know, Jesus' baptism doesn't necessarily explain why we baptize, but there are some similarities between our baptism and Jesus' baptism if you look at it. Like I said, in this baptism, when Jesus was baptized, when he was standing with the sinners, the Father gave him his identity, approving him as the one who would be the one that would fulfill his plan. And when we are baptized, we are given our true identity. I always like to explain it as God is tattooing his name on you. The name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You are his. This is our identity. And when we try to find our identity in other things, it's always going to disappoint. If we're trying to find our identity in our jobs or our school or how well we're doing in school or how much money we're making or how good we are in sports or whatever, the list can go on and on. When we try to get our identity in any of those things, we're always going to get disappointed. Which is why we should remember our baptism. Remember that we've been washed clean and that we are his. Another thing that's similar, we in Christ have the Holy Spirit. And if you remember from Mark chapter 1, when Jesus was baptized, the Holy Spirit in the form of the dove descended upon Jesus. When we are baptized, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, who gives us the faith that we had. Because I'm telling you, If we had to depend on believing in Jesus on our own, we'd be in big trouble. At least I would be, because I'd talk myself right out of it. That's how amazing the gift of faith is. And the Holy Spirit is always working in you, strengthening it, especially when we read God's word, when we hear God's word, when we commune. The Holy Spirit is strengthening your faith. We indeed have the gift of the Holy Spirit. And now look at this passage from Galatians chapter 3. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. Now let me be clear here. The sons there. This is not a gender problem, as a lot of people want to focus on nowadays. See, back in that culture, the sons were the ones that inherited the land of the family. But if you notice here, we are all sons, which means we all are inheriting this. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. You see, we are baptized into Jesus Christ. We are baptized into his death. And this is good news, because what happened to Jesus 3 days later after his death? He rose. And because we are baptized into Jesus, we too will live forever with him in heaven. This is good news. We are all sons and daughters of the Father. Look at this next passage from Galatians chapter 4. I love these passages. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son born of a woman, born under the law. Christmas. To redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. There it is again. Remember, the sons isn't just males. It's male and female. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. We are all sons and daughters of God. Jesus is our brother. How cool is that? This is our identity. We get to call God Father, just like Jesus did. We get to call him Father, because that's what he is. He is our Father, who loves us so much that he sent his Son for us to stand in the place of sinners, to stand with the sinners. Now, we throw this term around a lot, you know, remember your baptism. Luther said every time you wash your hands, or you can remember your baptism. You know, when we baptize, we give the Christ candle, and it's something to help you, remind you of your baptism. You can celebrate your baptismal birthday every year. How many of you do that, by the way? I don't usually either. Why don't we do that? We usually celebrate our birthdays. But I have a demonstration, because I'm a very visual person, and sometimes this remember your baptism is hard to explain. So I have a prop here. I'm going to have him come up. This is my prop, Devin. And I want to show you what this remembering your baptism really looks like. So, you know, we go throughout our days, each and every day. And if we just look at the Ten Commandments, the first commandment, you shall have no other gods. How often do we break this commandment? How many times do we put things ahead of God on our priority list? Whether it be our jobs or getting money or school or sports or whatever. So we start out, you know, the morning, a baptized Christian remembering. And then, oops, getting a little bit stained, the clean white shirt, get a little bit dirtier. We look at the next couple commandments, remembering the Sabbath day. Don't take God's name in vain. How often do we roll out of bed on Sunday? I just don't want to go to church, and I really don't want to turn my Zoom on either. Or, you know, I do hear what God is telling me from God's word, but I just don't really want to do it. I don't want to listen. And our day gets a little bit dirtier. Honor your father and mother. Do you honor your father and mother, Devin? I'm just going to go ahead and put an X right now. That's all I needed. But how often do we disrespect our parents? And this commandment includes all authorities. How often do we not want to respect those who have been placed above us? Thou shalt not murder. That isn't just physically murdering somebody. We can murder people, Jesus tells us in the Sermon on the Mount, with our words. How often have we hated somebody? And we can just keep putting X's. But you know what? The next day you wake up in the morning, Devin remembers his baptism. And you know what? You are reminded that you have been washed clean. You are God's. But then as the day goes on, you get into your life. The sixth commandment, you shall not commit adultery, which includes all sexual sins. Seven, you shall not steal. If you're in school, maybe you were tempted to, you know, look at somebody else's test or maybe to just fudge some numbers in your job. Eighth commandment, bearing false witness. How many times do we lie about our fellow brother or sister, or talk behind their back? And it goes on and on and on. The ninth and tenth commandment talk about coveting. How often do we see something that our brother or sister has and we're like, man, I wish I had that. And then it becomes, I'm not happy that they have it. I want it. But you know what? You go to bed, Devin, and you wake up the next morning, you remember your baptism. You remember that you are washed clean, that Jesus came and died on the cross for your sins. And you remember that you are His and you are clean. But you know what? The sin disease that we all share isn't just the sins that we commit. We have to deal with the effects of the sin in our world. And how often, you know, I could actually just write 2020 right here. Dealing with COVID gets us down. If you suffer with depression or anxiety, it's been especially tough this past year. And yesterday, by the way, it was the first day in 2021 that the sun was out, because I've been keeping track. And it just gets you down. And you just aren't excited about anything. You don't want to do anything. A death of a loved one ruins your day, your week, your month, your year. Cancer. You find out a loved one is diagnosed with cancer. And we could go down the list of all the things we deal with every single day because of the sin in our world. And Satan wants us to focus on the mess. But we can remember, one more time, Devin, what Jesus did for us. By being baptized into Jesus Christ, we are His. And we can remember the tattoo that we have on us, which is the cross. Thank you, Devin. You can head off. Let's thank Devin for being such a great prop. You know, Satan wants us to focus on the sin and all the stuff that's going on in our lives. But remembering who we are, that Jesus came, He was baptized, He stood with sinners. He went out into the desert and was tempted. He knows what we go through on a daily basis because He was 100% human. He knows what you're going through and He cares about it. And like I said, He not only stood with those sinners, He died for all of us by taking His cross all the way to Mount Calvary, where He died on it. And because of that, we have hope. We don't have to be mired in the muck. We have hope because of what he did for us. And we truly have an amazing God, don't we? It just never ceases to amaze me. So I want you to, every day, remember your baptism. Remember what it means. You are his child. You are washed clean. In Jesus' name, amen. And because we talked about Jesus' baptism and Jesus being 100% human and 100% God, we are going to confess our faith together in the words of the Nicene Creed, which gives a little bit more detail to the Son of God. And so I invite you to rise as we confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.